Good morning,
brothers and sisters. Greet you in Jesus' precious name this morning. It is it's a blessing to be here with you, brothers and sisters. Again, before I start on the message here, as I was sitting there, pondering these children sitting up here, my mind went to Revelations. As Jerry talked about the storms of life around us and the enemies throwing the darts and things that are happening in my mind with Revelations, where it says, you know, let me read a few verses here. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our day, before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." He said, rejoice, ye that dwell in them. But he says, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he know that he hath a short time. But when the dragon saw it, he was cast into the earth, and he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman were given two wings of great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a while, and a time and a half, and from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as flood upon the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of the mouth. And the dragon was wroth against the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ." And I know they're talking about here the church, how he went and made war. You know, he tried to stop the coming of Christ, and when that didn't happen, he went to the remnant of her seed. And I've seen that here today. As fathers here, yes, we might be able to, you know, withstand the fiery darts that the enemy fires and enemy brings toward us, the devil. But it says that very likely he's going to go right down the line. He's going to go after our children. And as I've seen that this morning, may God give us wisdom, as Josh talked about, and knowledge, godly wisdom, to be able to raise them up into a godly seed where they as well will be able to fight off that fiery darts. So that's just a thought I had as I was sitting there watching all the children up here. But what I want to share on a little bit this morning, I believe, I find to share messages maybe what I am challenged with or maybe struggle with myself. And I think that's the reason why I'm probably sharing this morning. And I did share this last Sunday as well in Tyosa, so my wife gets to listen to this again. But I have here is a healthy fear and the love of God in our lives. And I count them two essentials of a Christian life. They're really important to have that healthy fear and that love of God. Because I know many. Many people, I meet many people around the job sites and wherever I may go that claim, you know, to be Christians. And they say the right things and they do the right things. And one in particular, I know that I could sit down with him and talk about Jesus for, I could talk to him or about Jesus with him for hours. He just loves to talk about Jesus, but yet, it seems like the healthy fear of God is lacking in his life. Because when something comes up in a job or something happens, he can lie about it or he can be deceptive on it. And I tremble at that. You know, and he claims to have that blood, be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he claims to be born again, you know, and all that. But yet when the heat gets a little hot or when it starts heating up, I found him to not to say the whole truth. And that's what I want to speak on this morning. And I, like I said, I think probably why I'm sharing this, because maybe I struggle as well at a time. And matter of fact, I know I did, because it just happened a few weeks ago, and I think that's why I'm sharing this. So let's pray before I begin here, and that the Lord would use me as a vessel here today, as an instrument for Him. So let's pray. Lord, as I do bow here this morning, yes, Lord, I'm trembling at Your word here today. I just pray, Lord, that this would be for Your glory and for Your honor. Lord, that You just speak through me. Lord, use me today for You. And as well, Lord, that I can, just not today, but Lord, from days and weeks and years to come, that I can have this right fear or healthy fear, whatever You want to say, in my life, Lord, that it may bring honor and glory, that it may keep me from falling into sin, that it may keep me from walking away from years to come. So, Lord, I just pray that You'd help us here as a congregation as well, Lord, that You would bless us, Lord, as we gather here today, that You would just help us to fight this good fight of faith. And, Lord, as I spoke on the fiery darts that come, as Satan is angry, he knows he has about a short time, Lord, in this life, and he is making a war against the remnant of whoever it may be. He's trying to destroy every living person. So, Lord, we just pray that You would put the hedge around about us, Lord, as You did Job, and You could just let us press on toward the mark of the high calling. So we want to thank You, and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. But I have a first part I want to speak on here is having the healthy fear, or you can put it the right fear. And like I said, like many people do fear, they say they have a fear, but I'm not talking about a fear that fear of God, where if you do things wrong, He'll throw you in hell. But you know, it seems like if you don't have the right fear, the healthy fear of God, you will have a tendency to do the things that contrary to the Word of God, or you will fall into sin. And I wrote, not fearing Him so that we don't have to go to hell. And yes, that could be a fear. It could be okay, but I don't feel that's a healthy fear. That fear will not spring up a relationship. It will not help us to engage in a healthy relationship with God. I feel that fearing God for who He is and knowing Him, in that way, it will bond a relationship. It will bond, our hearts will bond in that way. But fearing God for who He is. So I wrote, so who is God to you this morning? Before I go on, and I just wrote here, you know, it's a beautiful thing, you know, to have that healthy fear. When the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of Jesus, says in a soft whisper voice, that's not how it was. And it says, and your heart breaks, and you pick up the phone, you call your boss, or you call your wife. Maybe something happened that maybe something happened that wasn't right. And I'll just share, like, maybe something like this. And I think I shared this here once before. As one day, my boss called me on the phone, and he something happened on the job, and it had nothing to do with me. It did not involve me. But he called and he asked me questions, and I answered everything that he asked me that day without lying, without not being untruthful, I thought. But when he hung up, the Spirit of God provoked me, His Spirit, and says, Mart, you know what He was asking you. You know what He wanted of you. You need to tell Him. And my boss was not a very nice boss. I had a hard time connecting with him, a hard time loving him. But today I can say, I praise the Lord, I do. But it wasn't until I had to, it seemed like I had to walk away from the whole situation a few years before here, a few years ago. But I called him up and I just told him that I do know what you were asking. I know what you wanted from me, and I told him. And I know that to him it seemed a little strange, but he as well knew that I didn't lie. He asked the questions, I answered them accordingly. But that's the fear of God I'm talking about in a person's life. You know, we need to keep a pure heart before our Lord Jesus. We need to maintain that sweet relationship with Him. You know, we need to be God-fearing men in that way. The right fear of God will keep all of our dealings, if it's business or if it's personal, it will keep it honest. And it will control our speech, our actions, the way we live, the way we dress, or whatever it may be. Then I wrote the lack of fear of God, that healthy fear of God, it will cause us to be dishonest in our taxes. It can cause us to not be totally honest on things like I just shared, or et cetera, however it may be. Without the lack of fear, I feel that it will be a challenge in our lives. Because we live in a corrupt, perverse, wicked, a wicked world we live in. It will make a difference how we view our Lord Jesus. And, you know, and I can't do this, or I can't do that, because it says so in the Bible, I can't do it. But it'll be like this, you know, we won't do this, we won't want to do this because it displeases my Savior. I won't do it. See, there's a difference there. Or I will do this because it's the will of God that I do it. In Psalms 28 here, talks about, David says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, happy shalt thou be, and shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as fruitful vine for the sides of thy house, and thy children like olive plants around the table. Behold, that thou shalt the Lord, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. It says, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem in the days of the life. Yea, thou shalt see the children's children, and peace upon Israel. And it talks about the fear of God in a person's life. We'll see that being passed down upon our children's children and generations to come. It's a healthy fear. In Psalms 112, David says here, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generations of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there is ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious in the full compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed and given to the poor. His righteous endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it, being grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. And it says, the very first verse says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. And it says that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And his commandments will not be grievous, it says in another part, another portion of the scriptures. But here we can delighteth in the great and greatly in his commandments and be blessed, it says. So we see that David is saying here, we will have that true peace and joy and love. We won't be afraid. We won't be fearful or angry. But our heart will be fixed, trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ in all things. And as I shared this a few weeks ago here, and as I meditated upon a few things here, In Job here, I share that fear of God that he had in his life. And I just want to touch on this a little bit, just to go through this again. I was going to read it, but I won't read it because I read it that morning. But here we see the fear of God that Job had. It says he was a very wealthy man. He had all these sheep and oxen and camels. And he was one of the greatest men of all of the East, it says. And it said how Satan came and he sought permission to tempt Job, and God allowed it to happen because he knew that Job feared God with all of his heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And it talks about how Satan started out by destroying all of his animals and his sheep and his oxen, and then it says he came and he took all of his children into a house, and they were gathered there drinking wine in an oldest brother's house. It said, and there came a great wind and blew down. And all this is happening one after another, it says. As one came that escaped and told Job what happened, barely got it told, another one came, and all this happened all at one time. It says that Job arose, and he went, and shaved his head, and he fell down on the ground, and he worshiped. And he said, "The naked come out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. And the Lord give, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed is the name of the Lord." And it says, in all this, Job sinned not. And he nor charged God foolishly. And we've seen here with a great loss here on behalf of Job, all of his riches and all of his children. And all this happened, it says he fell down and he worshiped God. But then Satan, he sought further permission to go on, and then God gave it to him again. And this time, it says that he tempted Job. He laid his hand on Job. And he put boils from his head to his toe. And I know that I can share a little bit on some boils, and I think some other brothers in here as well. I had two boils at one time, one on my finger and one on my leg, and I was basically laid up because my one on my finger here, I had to keep my finger above my hand all day until I went to the doctor to dig it out. But Job says he was covered from his head to his feet with these things, and these things are painful. As he sits there, it says he's crying out to the Lord. And another thing while I'm reading through Job, because I see a lack in my life here. You know Job here, he lived without the new covenant, and I marvel at that. And I see here Job going through all this, and he's sitting there. He said his friends came and sat with him for days, and they spoke no word. And he says that he continued crying out to God. Then came the final dart. Job's wife said, "Job, why did you?" I mean, he says. Then his wife said unto him, "Do thou still remain thy integrity?" He said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" But he said unto her, "Thou speakest one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the God, and shall not receive evil?" In all this, it says, Job did not sin with his lips. And I talked about it a few weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, but it was because he had that healthy fear of God in his life. And that's what I want. I want to be able to be at that point as Job. I know that, Jesus came as a... in the New Testament, but I'm just looking at some men here before that, and I'm always blessed when I read through that. And I spoke on that the last few weeks, actually last month, a few different places in Haiti and at the prison ministry and all that. But I am greatly challenged, and I wanted my life to be in that way. So we see here with the right fear of God or the healthy fear of God, when the battles come and the darts start flying, we will not be moved. As Job had, as Satan says, "Yeah, Job, you have a hedge around about Job. No one can touch him," and I believe that God did, and God can also, do that as well. You know, maybe as Job here lost what he did. Maybe we lose money, or maybe we someone wrecked some of our vehicles, or maybe someone sold some of our precious jewels. Maybe it's a bobcat, or maybe whatever it may be. Maybe a brother offends us. Maybe he. He says some things that are hurting. what is our response? So we know with the right fear of God in our life, or the healthy fear, we will cry out to the Lord Jesus for help, as Job did. In Malachi 3 here, he says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, And the Lord hearkened, and he heard it. And it says, a book of remembrance was written before him, before them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Or I can change those words. It says, between him that feareth God and him that feareth him not. But what blessed me here, it says, that those that fear the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord heard. It says he hearkened. He heard it, and he wrote a book of remembrance before him that feared the Lord. Written down in a book of remembrance for these men that had the fear of God. He said, they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts. In that day I will make up Jews, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son. That blessed me when I seen that. He wrote up a book of remembrance of those. Then Paul also said in Acts, he says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Another man here talks about fearing. He had the fear of God here. This talks about Luke 23 on the thief on the cross here. Starting on verse 39, it says, and one of the malefactors which were hanging railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other one answered and rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in the kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that is what I'm talking about, that godly fear, the reverence of God. And it will keep us from doing questionable things. It will keep us pure. It will keep us our hearts toward him, turned toward him. In Matthew 10:28, and it says, and fear not that which kill the body. Fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him that which is able to destroy both body and soul into hell. And with the right fear of God, we will lay our opinions down for our brothers and sisters. We will exalt others higher than self. And even if it isn't to death. When I look at that, I look at the disciples. You know, once Jesus revealed the truth, it says there in Matthew, he revealed the whole truth to them after his resurrection, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And we see that these men had that holy fear of God in their lives. Every one of them, except for Judas, he was destroyed by Satan there as greed crept in his life. But yet, the other 11, we see that they went preaching the word of God, and they didn't care if it cost them their life. And that's the healthy fear that I'm talking about, that no matter what may come. But first of all, we will not get to that point where they were at without the healthy fear of God. You know, they feared, these disciples, they feared Jesus with all their heart and their soul and mind and strength. And their lives showed it. You look at and you read through the martyrs and you read through the New Testament, and you see nothing but the men that loved God with all their heart, soul, and mind. And most of them died for preaching, you know, Jesus Christ. And they were called radical fools for Jesus. You know, may we as well be called the same in this life. May we be called radical fools for Jesus. And for that to happen, we need to continually to decrease. And Jesus must increase in our lives for that to happen. And I just wrote here at the bottom of the page on that half, on the end of that half there, what I'm going to speak on. So how do we maintain? How do we get the right fear of God? How does that happen in a person's life? And I don't know, it could be different for a lot of different people, but I see in my life, As more as I study the Word, search out the Word of God, and see what God wants for me in my life, where He wants me to go, what He wants me to be doing. As I seek that out and search it out, I see the healthy fear of God rises in my life. And I think that will hold true for most of us here as we seek out and search for the will of God in our lives. Because He saved us. He pulled us out of the miry clay. More than just that we could go through and have a beautiful life here. And more than that. But He called us to go and save the lost and the dying around us. So that's how we feel that we can maintain or we can get the healthy fear, by searching out the Word of God, not being being good Bereans, searching it out. So that's the end of that, and I want to talk on a little bit here on that having the love of God in our hearts. And I want to use the illustration of the love that Jesus had to the Father. I'm going to be using that illustration most of this here. We've seen the love that Jesus had for the Father. And from that, with the love that Jesus had from the Father, it poured out of Him unto us, the men of this earth. So that's what needs to happen to us, for us to have the love outpouring from us unto others. We won't do that unless we have the love of God ruling our hearts. So before I start that, I'd like to sing one song. I think it's in the Christian Hymnary, the Black Book, 779. Tim, if you want to start that, I'll be blessed. And it's the love of God. Amen. I just like how the writer, as he wrote this here, he said, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchments made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. It says, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole that stretched from sky to sky. And we see throughout the scriptures that the love that God has for us, as he sent his son, his only son that he had from heaven to this hellhole to save us from our sins. And as we see that, the love that God had for us, it says, you know, while we were yet in our sins, he died for us. He loved us because we first loved him. We love him because he first loved us. And you think on that. I don't know if I understand that. So without the love of God in our hearts, and I know that this the fear of God and the love of God, or the healthy fear and healthy love, it could go hand to hand here in this message here. But I want to write here is say, so without the love of God in our hearts, we will not be able to love those around us. You know, if we don't have a love for a brother in here, if it's a blood brother, or if it's a brother in Christ, whatever it is. The love of God is not in us, the Word of God says. So we don't have the love for the brother, if we, for whoever it may be, the love of God is not in us, as the Word of God says. But the love of God in us, it will propel us into all good works. It says, you know, with the love of God, it'll go deeper than just self. We will have a burden for the lost souls. It will cause us to fall on our knees before God, to intercede for our family, you know, as Job did. And I don't know how many of you saw that. Maybe I didn't read that verse. Yeah, that's why. But as Job here says that in the morning, he woke up here. It says, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and he sanctified them. He rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. It says, for Job did this. It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. And we see, it says Job woke up in the morning. It says he did this every day. He woke up and he interceded for his children in the morning. And that is the healthy love, the healthy fear of God in our lives. When we wake up, it will be more than just how we're going to get by today. It's going to be more on us, more about us. It's going to be about those around us. It's going to be about our children. It'll be our family. We will be interceding for other people. And if we and why I'm speaking on that, because I think at times I lack that, because so often in my life it's I get selfish, or I get maybe just thinking more on my own, but that's not the kingdom of God. As we seen Job here, he had the right fear. He said he feared God and he eschewed evil and he loved God with all of his heart, mind. For as brothers here, we have a high calling. In Matthew 5. Continue on there a little bit. In verse 39, it says, you have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn him the other also. But if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, and turn not away. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, Jesus says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and to do good to those that hate you, and pray for those which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of the Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do more than others? Do not even the publicans do? Then the last verse he says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And we see here in verse 48, I feel that he is talking here. Well, part of it here on loving, having the right love for those that hate you, is talking on love. That we can be perfect, therefore, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And I wrote, if we can't get by this, this is what he wrote here. We will not be going anywhere in this life if we can't get by what he wrote here in these few verses. If we can't love our enemies, if we can't love those that hate us, despise us, if our love cannot be perfect, as Jesus says here, we're going to fail in this life. You know, we often, not often, but I already mentioned before in my life, I don't really hate this person. I wouldn't say I dislike him, but he's just different. I don't really care for him. And as I heard a brother preach here a while back, and he wrote, anything less than love is hate. So if it's not a pure love flowing from us to each other, and if we do not have that right love, and it's considered hate in God's eyes. Jesus says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Lay not up treasures for ourselves upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But he says, but lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasures is, there will your heart be also. And why I read that is that in a man, in a person's life, if he's full of a bitterness, or if he's not, maybe not bitterness, then we'll not go there. If he may be full of just a little bit of strife, or a little bit of always opposing, or always has a debatable life, a debatable spirit about him, that will speak as well that the love of God is not fully working through this person. Now I don't want to add any condemnation or anything, but as I see that, you know, if we have a hard time to love someone, or a hard time just to accept someone, the love of God, we're not allowing the love of God to work perfectly in our heart. And when we are filled with the love of God, these verses here, you know, they will work out in our lives. As Paul says in Acts, if any man love God, the same is known of him. And that's what I'm saying. If we love God, if God is, we have that full, just overflowing with the love of God in us, that will be flowing out of us, and men will be able to see that of him, of us as well. And when we have it, Paul says, the love will shine from us. They will know that we have the love of God in us because it's going forth from us, which I just shared. I just shared that. In Colossians, I'm going to read a verse here. Should have marked this one here. Colossians 3. Turning the page maybe just a little bit here. It says, in Colossians 3, Paul writes, the Christian virtues. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, do also do you. He says, above all these things, put on charity. And when I come to that verse, let me finish the verse. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And I always stop at that verse when it says, put on charity. Charity, we know, is love and kindness. It's the whole package. Put on charity. What does it mean, put on charity? I mean, I always thought there for a while. Once we got born again, all that whole package was one whole deal. But it's not. It says, he talks about in the scriptures, putting on and putting off. There's things in our life that we need to deal with. There's things in our life that we need to put off, and there's things that we need to put on. And I say, when I read this, and he says, put on charity. So there, it is a practicing, not practicing, but I'm not sure how to put that in words there. But there is a putting on and putting off in our life. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to that which is also called in one body. Be ye thankful. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And as we continue letting our Lord Jesus shaping and molding our lives, things in our lives, what I want to share maybe more in there, there is a time, you know, we need to be sensitive to the calling of God in all things. If we allow, God will shape us and mold us. But if we go on our own ways and not heeding to the Word of God, God will not be able to shape and mold us in our lives. We become more and more, if we allow Him, we'll become more and more like Him. But if we don't heed to the calling of God in all things, we will not become more and more like Him. We'll become actually stale and bitter and all that. So that is my heart there, that we can continue, as this verse here says, that we put on Christian virtues. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holiness, beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against, even as Christ forgive you, so also do you. And Paul says in Philippians 1 here, for me to live is in Christ, and to die is gain. And we see that as a brother, as we walk in this kingdom of God. It is, as I shared before, it's not about me, it's about Christ. And if it's about Christ, it's about brothers, it's about others. He says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. He says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, as he's telling them there. Read a few verses here in Philippians 2. You can turn to that. I'm going to read about 16 verses here. As he says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, he says, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one of mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than ourselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things of heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but also more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all the things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in this world, holding forth the word of God, or word of life, that I may rejoice in that day of Christ, and have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And then he says here that we work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And we see that just being born again is an important thing in our life. We need to be born again, but he says that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It is a walk after that God is after in our lives, to do the will of Him. The more we learn of the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, that love will grow in our hearts more and more. You know, for God, then also to all man. Just as most of us in here can relate, you know, once we were married, like Loretta and I, we got married about 25 years ago already, and that was a short time. But anyway, at that time, I thought my love could not exceed at that time. I thought that, you know, we loved each other greatly. But as I look back after these 20-some years, I see that, I don't know if it was even love. Like today, it's a bond. Yes, we have things that we struggle with at times, but the love from there, from back then to today, is like I said, it didn't even seem like love back then. And that's what it should be with God in our lives. As we grow on, as we walk in this life, that the love of God may continue growing with Him, that we become more and more less of ourselves and more of Him, of Christ. You know, as Jesus walked in this earth, the love that He had with the Father was inseparable. You know, and I think of that, some of those verses there in Matthew. You know, we've seen that the love of God was in greatly in Jesus. And it says, as He wept over Jerusalem, at a time it says that He wept. He was crying out in Matthew there. He telling them, if you don't repent, He said, you'll all be destroyed, all of you. And He was weeping. And also, I seen Him, seen the Father. I seen Jesus on the cross, and He said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. And they were torching Him. They were mocking Him. They were spitting up on Him at that time. And he cried out and says, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. And that is what I want in my heart. And I wrote here, He could do that because He had the love of God in Him. And He loved the souls of men. He had redemption in mind for you and me. So today, do we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength? Is it real in our lives? Pulled one page out too much here. Before time. Let me just go back a little bit here. In John 15, here we see that as the prayer that He had, that Jesus had here, about I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, and likewise we need to be in Him that the same way. But John 15, I'm sorry, this is John 15. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purged it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. If that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth much forth fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Hereby is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Then he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And we've seen how great that love was, you know, to his son. And he says, as the Father loved me, I love you. And if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even I had kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all the things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And you have not known, chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth much fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whosoever you shall ask one of the Father in my name, it shall be given. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And he did say, as the Father said, love me so as I loved you, continue me. If you keep my commandments, if you shall abide in my love, even as I give my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. And he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. Greater love no man hath than this, the man lay down his life for his friends. He says, ye are my friends, if you keep my commandments. So, Yeah, that verse speaks on its own. He said, "Ye are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Big verse. So we see the relationship that Jesus had with his Father, and we need to abide with him in the same way, to talk and to commune, fellowship with him. Without that love outpouring from God to us, we can do none of these. Okay, I don't have much more here. I'm going to finish up here in a little bit. Just a few more things I want to share. And Peter, here, 2 Peter 1, it says growing, it talks about growing in grace. And here it is again. It's putting on. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on and says, but if you lack these things, you are blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And whatever you, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you should never fail. For so an instance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Recently, I don't know how long ago it was, but I heard someone say that as a Christian, why does it seem to be getting dull? What's happening? God is not using me like, I think he should or like I should. He said, what is happening? And I remember talking there and I just wrote, God forbid, it's not on God's behalf. It's because a man is not doing what Peter is saying here. We need to be growing in grace in his life. It's because the light in that person was growing dim because he was not engaging in the Word of God. He was not seeking the will of God for his life. God can't speak to somebody that turns his ears other directions or toward the world. And I'm not saying here in any means that we can earn our salvation. We know we can't, but after we are saved and born again, it remains there where we will spend eternity if we go on with God or if we turn our ear and not heed the calling of God in our lives. We need to become good Bereans and search out the Word of God of Jesus Christ and see what He wants for us in our life. Yes, and I did share a little bit on this page here. I just wrote, do we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And if we don't, I wrote here, we will struggle to read the Bible. We will struggle to love each other. We will not have a burden for lost souls. And we will not have the healthy fear of God. And we will not live a victorious life and I just close here, and as we walk, let not the love of God get dimmer, as I shared about in that brother, as it does for some, but let it continue growing brighter and brighter as the years go on. And it's the same conclusion as I had on the other one. How does that happen in a person's life? And that is searching out the Word of God for the will of our life, for the will of my life. And 2 Timothy here, close with this, exhorting to endurance. As Paul told the church here, Timothy, he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting on my hands. He says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of his afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, who had abolished death and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. For these things cause I all suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep me that which I have committed against him on that day. Hold fast the form of the sound words which thou had heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. So I'm just going to leave you with that. And that is my heart, that we as brothers here and sisters, that we would continue on in this fight, in this battle, as we know that we are in a battle, and we are in our last days. And it is that Satan would sift us as wheat, it says, and destroy every one of us. But greater is he that is in us than the one that's in this world. So I just want to ask God to bless you and your families here today, and as we engage and walk on in this life. May God bless you.